Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV. Straight up, we are often imitated, but hardly duplicated. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, allegedly, my producer says I know a little bit about boxing. So I will open up the toll-free phone lines right here at the top of the hour. If you think you know more or you want to impart on the show, please join me. 1-800-878-7529. Once again, the toll-free for the studio, 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. That number, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. Well, Jermell Charlo, of course, Brian Castano, they go a 12-round draw last week. We'll talk about that in depth. Of course, boxing's PhD will be here after the break. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer, but it was supposed to be a 154-pound showdown, but yet this guy, Brian Castano, lost the last three rounds on all three judges' scorecards. In other words, you lose 25% of the fight at the end, and you expect to win? It ain't happening, baby. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. President Mauricio Suleiman. Check them out at their website, WBCboxing.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, but hey, you know that.
Ease on into your back, but you ain't just exactly sure what's him.
You know, it's my theory that if Don King was born rich and white, he'd be Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump was born poor and black, he'd be Don King.
Boy, that's some original Tower of Power. Back in the day, soul vaccination, Lenny Williams on lead. Of course, Lenny rocking and rolling, still on his own in Tower of Power. Still doing their thing, what, 50-something years later. Check them out, towerofpower.com and LennyWilliams.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a.k.a. WBC Boxing TV. Fans must be vaxxed to attend MSG and Triller cards. That's right. Boxing fans will need to be fully vaccinated to attend the April 3rd Trillerverse event in the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Garden and must provide upon entry of having received their final dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. You know, I promote dances here in San Francisco. And I pulled a dance on July 3rd because people were coming to the dance and said, well, I can get fake cards and this kind of stuff. In other words, I told people they had to be vaccinated. I told a friend of mine, I said, you know, you need to be vaccinated. He goes, well, I can get a card. I said, well, no, you need to be vaccinated. Well, I can get a card. No, the card doesn't work. The vaccination works. He goes, well, if I've got the card, how can you tell me I can't come in? So the bottom line was I just scrapped the event and said, hell with that. I didn't need the headaches. I don't want to deal with the masks and this kind of stuff right at this point in time. But I thought I could strike gold and do a dance right after the city of San Francisco opened up right away. But it didn't work out that way. Bottom line is too many uncooperative people. And, you know, and the people that are dying nowadays, I'll repeat it again. The people that are dying from the COVID-19 virus are people that didn't take the vaccine. You didn't take the vaccine and you're dying. I think the Alabama or the Arkansas governor, the older lady, I mean, she went off on her entire state. Just went off in her entire state. She goes, it just doesn't make any common sense. It just doesn't. Why would you, I mean, think about this. If you didn't listen to vaccines and things like that, polio would still be around, okay? That's for sure. Okay, we had the polio vaccine. Of course, that was in the 60s. And before that, you know, I mean, we can go on and on. I mean, vaccines have worked Vaccines have worked in this country in the past. They're going to work now. So the bottom line is you need to get with it. The Bella Entertainment is going to promote that show as far as the live entertainment is concerned at the Garden, August the 3rd. Mike the Bounty Hunter is in the main event. He is the son of Mike the Bounty Hunter, the original one. Of course, I took him to China. And what happened, he threw his leg out, threw his knee out in sparring or something like that, and didn't end up fighting. But that was our first trip in China, 1993, with Mike the Bounty Hunter. And I did one of his fights down there on the Z Channel in Irvine, California, where he slapped some guy around for 10 rounds. One of the most unpredictable, he's an unpredictable fighter, no doubt about that. Now let's take it to the Ring Talk phone lines. Of course, let's bring in the PhD of boxing, telling us who is from the East Coast, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And Sock, 154-pound showdown last week, but no definitive winner.
Yeah, it was a really good fight, one of the better ones we've had all year, and it created a controversial buzz, and most people that I've spoken to think that Castaño got the short end of the stick, but I think it was just the score by, Nelson Vasquez, which really let, you know, gave people a really left a bad taste in people's mouths. I think it was 118-110.
117-110, something like that. But the bottom line is Nelson's been known in the past to have some off-the-wall cards. He just happened to get caught here with his pants down, because that's really, really an indictment of his ability to score a boxing match. Because any way you look at it, whether you like Charlo or whether you like Castaño, it was a close fight. But Castaño committed pugilistic suicide. How did he do that? He lost the last three rounds on all three judges' scorecards. I mean, that would be like... that's like losing 25% of the fight right there.
Yeah, you have to close the show, especially if, I mean, he is a champion, but he definitely was the underdog going in and fighting another guy's home state. You got to close the show. It seemed like he gassed out a little bit. I think that in a rematch, he's going to have to train a lot harder, you know, because I think Charlo is going to come motivated, especially, you know, a guy with a lot of pride hearing that, hey, you lost, you know, you got a gift. So he's going to have to be better when the rematch comes. And I was happy to hear Charlo say a couple of days later that the rematch is the only fight that he's interested in. And hopefully the politics of boxing did not get in the way of that.
Jermell is the 154-pound Charlo brother. Of course, Jermall is the 160-pound fighter. He's undefeated WBC champion. Jermall is now 34-1-1, 18 wax. Brian Castaño drops a 17. Still undefeated, 17-0, two draws with 12 KOs. Scores were 114-113. That was Castaño, 117-111, the aforementioned Mr. Vasquez. And the third judge had it 114-114. Hector thought it was even. He sort of said he could flip a coin after 12 rounds. I thought it was a pretty close fight, but I'm still screaming at the TV, and because I'm watching this guy blow it. See, when guys are blowing it on TV, they're just blowing it. When you lose the last three rounds, in other words, I thought he could have put it, even if he was gassed and he was tired, you should have went out there and killed yourself cardiovascular-wise in order, in other words, carry me out of the ring because I'm tired. Don't carry me out of here because I lost.
I couldn't agree with you more, bro. That's the intangible that athletes have. You know, who wants it more? Yeah, he got buzzed a couple of times in the fight, but he threw away nine good rounds of really good work. You know, he fought the way I thought he needed to fight. You know, he took it on the inside against Charlo. He out threw him, and that's how the smaller guy is going to beat a bigger guy. You got to, you know, more volume, and he left it in the judge's hands, and he paid the price, you know. But like you said, it was a draw. There's definitely a big buzz for the rematch, and hopefully it's not in Texas.
Well, you know, and Castaño can make a few more bucks here. I mean, this rematch will mean both these guys will make some money, and I'm all for that. In fact, the draw was the right decision to do because it was a real close fight. I'm not against draws if they're close. I'm against draws if they're like wide, wide scoring fights, and you say to yourself, what's going on? I thought one guy won. They're calling it even. But that obviously hasn't been happening too often. And I'll pose this question to you because somebody posed a question to me this week, and I thought I talked about this on the show in the past. Should there be a 13th round in all championship fights to make sure there aren't any 6-6 draws?
You know, Pedro, I was actually talking to somebody about that minutes after this fight, you know, and I said, logically, yes, you know, because then you figure there's going to be a winner, you know, most times. But business-wise, is it the right thing? Probably not, because then, you know, so, and as we know, cash dictates not just boxing, but life in general. So theoretically, yes. And, you know, and if it's some winner-take-all scenario, like, let's say, I don't know, some mass monster trilogy, and if they want to put some special stipulation, that's cool. But, you know, I can't see that happening. You know, there's too much money in rematches.
Back when you were a kid, we'll talk about this rematch. It was D.O. Colome and Eric the Prince Martin fought on ESPN for the ESPN Welterweight Championship. Eric was a junior welterweight, so they figured they'd lure him from San Francisco to go down to Vegas and be the opponent. But he won the first fight, a 12-round decision. He won the first round, no doubt about it. So they fight the second fight, and you have to realize that Johnny Taco, who ran the gym down there in Vegas, he said to me, tell Martin not to come back to town. They're going to rob him. I said, what do you mean they're going to rob me? He goes, I said, are they actually talking about that? He goes, you don't have to talk about it. It's in the cards. And I said to him, Johnny, are you sure? He goes, man, tell Martin. He goes, and if he comes back, make sure he gets 25 or 30 grand. He goes, they want his belt, that little ESPN title he's got on his waist. So they'll do anything to get it to make him pay for it. And I said, okay. So I went to Eric Martin's manager, Bill Mateo, who's a crook. And I said to him, I said, Johnny says they're going to rob you down there in Vegas and you should ask for 25 grand. He goes, I got 7,500 bucks and I'm happy with that. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, Eric goes down there, beats D.O. Colome up over 12 rounds. And they say, no, no, it's a draw. So they go to a 13th round after these guys have been sitting in the ring for 3 or 4 minutes. They go to a 13th round. Eric beats them in the 13th round and they gave it to Colome.
Wow. Yeah. I just looked it up. 1984, that happened.
Man, wow. That was like, I was I couldn't believe it. But Johnny said to him, I remember Johnny calling me on, I'll never forget this phone call. It was like a warning. Pedro. Yeah. This is Johnny. Yeah, I know. What's up, man? Listen, tell your guy the Prince, he better not come back to town with that title. They're going to take it from him. Blah, blah. He goes, find some other way to do it. Renegotiate with the network. He goes, fight Colome and somewhere in the East Coast. Maybe get an even break or fight him at home in San Francisco. Do something like that. Try to negotiate a better deal because they're going to take this from him. And they took it from him because when you win a 12 round fight, and then they have you fight a 13th round after like a 5 minute intermission and you win that 13th round and they still stick it to you. Obviously, the boxing establishment is not in your corner.
Yeah, there's something. Yeah, you got to be read the tea leaves.
Okay.
Now
the WBO has ordered Terrence Crawford to fight Sean Porter. You know, Terrence Crawford told me a few years ago that he wants to be a great fighter. But I told him you have to fight great fighters in order to become a great fighter. Has he yet to fight a great fighter? Is that due to his? Is he just unlucky and there aren't any great fighters around?
I think he's fought really good fighters. He's probably not gotten them at their best. I mean, Amir Khan was once a really, really good fighter. But obviously when they fought, he was a shell of himself. Gamboa, smaller guy, you know, and really never lived up to the hype. You know, I think Terrence Crawford is a great fighter, you know. Is he an all-time great? That's in his hands, and hopefully he gets the opportunities in the future. But you're right, he hasn't fought the great fighter. But then again, who has? You
know, okay, Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. More with Boxing's PhD, Mr. Palmer, after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and the WBC Boxing TV, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Check out their interactive website, WBCBoxing.com. She whispered in my ear. She seemed to know the reason why. She said, a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. Yeah. Yeah. A little knowledge is a dangerous thing, baby.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Sparks stop to fly. Now, more Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
If you give me enough money, I'll fight my own mother.
The great Paulie Malignaggi, of course, I made him a star on this show. I told him when he was on this show, like in the 90s, he was the Golden Glove champion of the United States. I said to him, I said, you're going to be a star. I said, in boxing? I said, probably with a microphone, too. And I meant with a microphone. Of course, he has I think he won a fringe title as a war professional, but the bottom line is he has really shined as an announcer. I don't know where is Paulie working these days, Socrates?
Well, he fell victim to the cancel culture that exists, and Showtime. I'm assuming he's still under contract, but he's been put on ice indefinitely. And
for what? Working.
Well, for basically having his own opinion. You know, I mean, which is what I thought is the greatness of this country. You know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I mean, you could speak your mind.
Yeah.
You know? But he's working for Sky. I think it's Sky. I know he does some stuff with an English boxing podcast, and actually saw him in a TV show called Gravesend. You know, he's trying to get into acting. And he was also doing celebrity boxing commentating a couple of weeks back. So, you know, he's made some good paydays. You know, he's, not going to make the Hall of Fame, you know, but he had a good run. And as far as Paulie, you know, we have that mutual, we've known him since the amateurs.
Yeah.
There's so many guys that had so much more talent than Paulie that didn't get half as far as he did.
You know who should get the credit here? Well, Johnny Baugh should get the credit. Remember Johnny Baugh?
Yes. Johnny
Baugh should get the credit. Johnny Baugh picked every opponent that Paulie Malignaggi had, and he dissected each guy.
He was such a great, I mean, great guy in boxing, Johnny Baugh. One of the true characters of the era, you know. He was the internet before the internet. I mean, this guy, he didn't sleep. He was like, he was like a vampire. Well, you know, you'd get a call from Johnny Baugh all hours of the night. He was a great guy.
He used to call me like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, his time, which was 2 o'clock in the morning, my time. And we talked for an hour and a half, and he'd bring on the boxing historian. I can't remember his name right now, but he'd bring on the boxing historian and we talked that. And I remember one time, He was a bad drinker, and that's what sort of ran him out of New York City. And the reason why he went to Florida, he dried up and went to Florida, and that was really good. He cleaned his act up. But we were in Florida doing a couple of gigs, and, you know, he was easily excitable. I mean, there was nobody as excitable as Johnny, yet he knew everything that was going on in boxing. He could predict stuff before it happened. He was, like, magical, almost like a psychic and things like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, he messed around with some stuff called adrenaline or something like that. It was like a speedy type of drug, okay? And that blew his heart out.
Yeah. I think the official thing was congenital
heart failure, but it was brought on by something called it ends with zine or reen or something like that. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but he told me one time that he was taking this, and that had a lot to do with him being up till 5 o'clock and, you know, like 8 o'clock our time and that kind of good stuff. So, you know, he didn't sleep much, and he ate, you know, he ate hamburgers for like 27 years straight, right?
Something like that. I remember when I first saw him, you know, he is like Hulk Hogan with, if you cross Hulk Hogan with Mr. T, because he always had all this gold, and he had the Hogan Fu Manchu. Yeah, he's a great character.
But no, I'm serious on the hamburgers though. There was, I mean, he would either, I would say to him, what are you doing? I'm going to get some meat. I mean, that's what I'm going to get some meat. And Johnny Baugh, he's been on the show. He was featured on the show for many years, but he would, he would eat a hamburger at a certain restaurant every day for like 20 years in New York City. Whatever this place was, he would eat hamburgers like from breakfast and dinner. He had one in the morning and one at night. That was what he ate for burgers for years. Enough of that. Let's talk about the boxing game as a general. Of course, the heavyweight greed sweepstakes is on. I'm talking about, of course, Anthony Joshua, the man that wanted to get out of the Sky Sports contract. So he comes up with this fight with Oleg Usyk. Of course, it's going to take place soon. And, of course, there's the other heavyweight fight. It's going to be rescheduled now for October the 9th. I'm talking about Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder going the third time. Of course, Deontay has no excuses going in this one, none whatsoever. I'm just kidding. Hey, it was sort of comical because he goes, my arm, my mask, my legs, everything was wrong. He said, but I ain't got no excuses. That's what he said.
Yeah.
So heavyweight greed sweepstakes is on. I think it would be great for the sport. People are going to laugh at me when I say this, but it would show these people that you can't mess around if Oleg Usyk was a knockout Anthony Joshua.
And it can happen. I mean, Anthony Joshua has shown to have a shaky chin. Oleg Usyk is very, very good fighter. He hasn't shown to be that great yet as a heavyweight. You know, he had a tough go around with the British cat.
Yeah, but he's always Chisora. But here's what's, you know, it was a transformation for him from 200 pounds to above 200 pounds. And I've always said that there should be a new weight class somewhere around 225 pounds or 235 pounds. Looks like the WBC has got bridge weight going on as far as 224 and a half or less or something like that. But the bottom line is, guys that compete at cruiserweight usually can't compete at heavyweight because the heavyweights are so big now. And Joshua's a big, big dude. He's going to weigh about 245, 250 pounds. He stands 6 foot seven. Usyk stands about 6 foot three, I'm told. And he's going to weigh in about 210 pounds. But he is a precision puncher. He throws his, right. I mean, when he targets, he could target to cut his chin in the room through the window. You know what I'm saying? He's a precision type of guy. So that's what I think is going to be the key. If he can get some shot to land him right on Anthony Joshua's chin, because Joshua, say what you want about him, but he was knocked out by Andy Ruiz.
Andy Ruiz hit him with the right shot, you know, right, over the temple. I think he took Andy Ruiz lightly and it showed. You know what? That's the beauty of the heavyweight division. You know, it can be the most boring, it could be the most boring weight division in all of boxing. And at the same time, it's the most exciting because all it takes is one shot, you know, from these big dudes. Usyk, I think, will be better this time around in his second, fight as a heavyweight. And, like you said, he's a very polished fighter, tremendous amateur background. He's got, Lomachenko's dad in his corner, and he's kind of playing with house money. You know, he's definitely going to be a big underdog, but a live underdog.
Okay. Real quick, across the pond today, Joe Joyce is going to take on Mr. Tackham. Is Joe Joyce the real deal? I don't seem to give him all the props that maybe he deserves. Does he deserve props?
I mean, he had a good win. You know, he took out the undefeated guy. The guy that quit, the other Brit. He's a big dude, Joe Joyce. He's fighting Carlos Takam, who's, I think he's a star boxing, product, who has been kind of like a gatekeeper, you know. Takam is, you know, a little stepping stone. So it's an interesting matchup. I think it might be a Fight TV pay-per-view or something like that. So the fight fans are going to have to find a good stream somewhere.
Real quick, I'm trying to figure things out. I thought the Olympic fights were going to 5 2-minute rounds, and looks like they're back to 3 3-minute rounds. Is that what's going on over there?
You know, Pedro, you caught me off guard. I don't know. I have to check AIBA's website to see.
Because I'm seeing scores of 30-27. So I imagine they're, you know, we're talking, and there are 3-2 splits. So they're talking five judges. But they're doing three rounds. So, yeah, I guess they're going 10-point. They do the 10-point must system now. They used to do the 20-point must system in amateur boxing, which is really confusing because all you need to do is put another 10 numbers on there for a dumb boxing judge to screw things up.
Yes, you got to keep it simple sometimes.
I couldn't believe it. 20-point must system, and they were going, Anyway. Bottom line is, you have a great weekend. Say hello to the wife. Take care of the kid. Kiss the family. Larry Merchant's voice is getting much better. Of course, he had laryngitis, awesome, and he couldn't talk to us for a while, so he's getting better, and we're looking forward to the comeback of Larry maybe next week.
I can't wait. He's the legend returns. Thank you for having me on, Pete.
You're the greatest, man. He is the PhD of boxing, Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. And yes, this is his music, his theme, Socrates' theme on Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
Own an annuity.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
You can check out the WBC's interactive website, interactive website at WBCBoxing.com. You are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. My name is Pedro Fernandez. In case you didn't know, I'm your host. I'm also a 4-time Golden Glove champion, so I know a little bit about fighting, or I supposedly do. Anyway, bottom line is, let's talk about this cage fight. I'm not a big fan of the cages anymore, of course, because of the fact that fighters are being abused to the point where there's no return. In other words, what I'm trying to tell you is, if you're going to get lumped up, if you're going to get destroyed, if you have a death match after death match after death match, you got to get paid. Okay, you got to get paid because your longevity is not going to be there. In other words, the average NFL player averages about 3 to 5 years, right? That's what they do. So the NFL sort of like figured out they should make a bunch of money in those 3 to 5 years because they're not going to be working for the rest of their lives because of the, you know, they only get 3 to 5 years of their prime, okay? Same thing goes with boxers and MMA fighters. Straight up, we're talking about MMA right now. We'll talk about this for a second. Of course, Conor McGregor getting his ankle broken a couple of weeks ago. Brought it on himself. And why do I say that? Because, you know, you can't dry out for 3 weeks and say to yourself, you know what, I'm gonna be in shape. He just did, cause he's a drunk. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. I mean, there's no argument. Nobody's arguing the fact that he's a drunk. Nobody does argue that. Nobody does. Nobody, not even Conor. Okay? He's a drunk. He doesn't dedicate himself like he should. Of course, here was a guy that burst onto the scene, 145 pounds, took out Jose Aldo, of course, the Scarface, the icon. How did he get that name, Scarface? Evidently, he was a 3-year-old kid, and his face got ironed. He was on an ironing board, and some iron fell over and sort of burned his face, that Scarface. Anyway, he beats Jose Aldo in the blink of an eye. Then he goes on, he wins a 155-pound title. It was a 145-pound title with Aldo. 155-pound title. Then he sort of gets, you know, stifled a little bit because, you know, things start happening to him. He's not winning like he should be winning. Of course, he lost to Nate Diaz, came back and won the second fight with Nate Diaz. That was a bit shaky as well because Nate Diaz wasn't all that, how can we put this, focused for that second fight. But, you know, he came back last week and fought a fortnight ago and took on Dustin Poirier in their third fight. Of course, he beat Dustin the first time. So he thought he was lunch meat. He thought Poirier was lunch meat. But lunch meat wasn't happening. He was lunch meat. Because the second time around, he got lit up like a White House Christmas tree. Of course, a fortnight ago, same thing was happening. He was getting drilled. He was getting beat. And his ankle got broke. Fight was stopped after the first round. Lucky for Conor McGregor. You know, Eddie Croft, and we'll go off subject just for a second here. It's Eddie Croft's birthday. Of course, primetime Eddie Croft, the former WBC boxing regional champion. And of course, the man that runs B Street Boxing. But you know, he doesn't watch MMA. And I asked him about that. He said, "Hey, I don't watch MMA. It's too brutal for me. So I just can't handle the blows." And I think about that sometimes because I turn my face away from it. It's just too brutal for me. And that's what I'm trying to say. Back to the fact that these guys are taking elbows and chokes and kicked in the head and knees and, you know, I mean, when you get kicked, you've got that, you know, see that leg muscle coming at you? That's a whole lot harder than a punch. Okay. It might not be as quick as a punch, but it's a whole lot harder than a punch. And these guys have got to take that in elbows and more. And the bottom line is the residual effects, I think, are coming into play. Jake Stitch Duran tells me, talks to guys now and girls now, they're stumbling a little bit verbally. And when you start stumbling verbally because your pugilistic activities, it's probably time to stop. Or is it too late at that point in time? I mean, think about that. In other words, they're not stopping these UFC fights. I keep bitching about this week after week. If a guy's getting beat, stop the fight. That's what it's all about. If a guy or a girl is getting their head handed to him, it's time to stop the fight. What are you waiting for? Death? I mean, because that's basically what you're trying to tell me that you're into. I mean, Dana White and his people, they're not stopping those fights. The corner man's not stopping the fight. What? You guys should be arrested for impersonating trainers and cornermen because you have that fighter's life in your hands. Okay? And you want to say, you know what, let him fight some more. Let him take a few, you know, let him watch him get hit in the head with elbows and they say, let him get hit some more. Because you're not taking them. All you're doing is sitting out there in the corner. Okay? Being Dana's bitch, for lack of a better thing. Because if you're not willing to throw in the towel when your fighter's getting beat, and you're a trainer or a corner man, you don't belong in the corner. And think about this. The fighter has three different people that are supposed to trust him. Okay? He's supposed to have trust in. He's supposed to be able to trust his corner. The corner's supposed to look out for his well-being. The doctor's supposed to look out for his well-being. Okay? And of course, the referee is supposed to look out for his well-being. Well, in a lot of these UFC fights, all three of these intangibles don't come together. Not one of them. Not one of the three. Nothing. What I'm trying to tell you is, I'm not a big fan of Dana White. Dana is a pimp. Of course, today on ESPN, they're going to rock with TJ Dillashaw, the cheat. TJ Dillashaw, formerly out of Sacramento, California. He was with Team Alpha Male up there, Uriah Faber and those guys, and he went to Colorado and lost his title, but he was the 135-pound champion, and dropped down to 125 pounds, and of course lost in the, he got disqualified. I mean, basically he got caught for steroids. The guy tested dirty for steroids, and he was dirty for steroids. He ended up admitting it afterwards. He ended up sending a long suspension. But the bottom line is, you don't get a long enough suspension if you get caught, especially twice. If you get caught twice, the first time, you know, it was an accident, like Canelo said, you know, I was eating Mexican meat and the steroids were in the meat. That kind of said, oh, okay. We'll let that one go. But not the second time. Not the second time. Okay. And, you know, TJ Dillashaw, of course, got beat up at 125 pounds, didn't make the weight really. And he, at the end of the day, he's usually not the fighter people thought he was. I remember Uriah Faber telling me he's got something missing. I said, what do you mean? He's got something missing. And this was back when he was like an undefeated prospect coming up. He said, there's something missing with the guy. And that was before he split Team Alpha Male. But of course, later today, TJ Dillashaw is going to take on Corey Sandhagen. That's going to go down, I believe, in Vegas. Of course, this is the main event, main card on ESPN and ESPN Plus. These guys are fighting 135 pounds. That is his preferred fighting weight, of course, 125 pounds. He said he had to take drugs to make 125. That's the reason why he took steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, was that he was cutting weight to make 125. Yeah, right. Anyway, also on the card, Carla Phillips taking on Rolion Pava. As far as women are concerned, Miranda Maverick, Double M, taking on Macy Barber. Those women are going to fight 125 pounds. There's another two women's fights on the card. And the reason why I bring up women is that they put on better shows as far as MMA is concerned than men do for the most part. They fight with their all. They give it their all. Diane Berbeji is going to take on an 115-pound fight. Going to take on Hannah Godoy. And then in a women's flyweight bout, 125 pounds once again, Sahara Eubanks to take on Elisa Reed. Of course, that'll probably be the highlight of the ESPN card because the women rock. The women, listen, women are delivering. They realize the pressure's on them. I mean, I've talked to women in the past, both in boxing and in MMA. They realize, you know, that the entire world is watching. And if this one girl flops, it's sort of reflective on girls' boxing as a whole. And the bottom line is, at the end of the day, girls boxing in the United States has picked up tremendously. And not due to Clarissa Shields. She may be the loudest of the bunch, of course, and the WBC champion. She may be the loudest of the bunch, but the other women are stepping up. I mean, they're really stepping up. And each time you see these women take battle and step into the squared circle, you realize they have a tremendous amount of pride with them, okay? They're not coming to lose. Even the opponents. Even, yes, they have female opponents. What's an opponent? An opponent is somebody like me. In other words, you know, I've got a job 9 to 5 and I'll pick up a fight here and there. And what's your record? Oh, it's about, you know, 25 and 17, something like that. You know, in other words, I'm a guy you're going to beat, but I'm going to give you a good 10 rounds for it. So the bottom line is I am the opponent. No doubt about that. When you're the opponent, you get very, very, very rarely a chance to win. Much like Andy Ruiz or Andy Ruiz and Anthony Joshua. I mean, Andy Ruiz came up with that right hand. Of course, that short right hand to the temples and sort of discombobulated Joshua. But that sort of exposed the 2012 Olympian as not having, as Socrates said earlier, quote, she has a shaky chin. There's no doubt about it. But I think deep down inside, I think there's a little bit more to the shaky chin. I think he lacks confidence in himself. And I think that Tyson Fury, if they were ever to fight, I think we'll take care of that. As far as Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder is concerned, why do we have to do it a third time? Because Wilder's got a puncher's chance. He's always got a puncher's chance. I mean, he is the must-see TV in the heavyweight division right now as far as one-punch knockouts are concerned. But he's got nothing else. I mean, he's like null and void as far as anything else is concerned. I mean, when you look at the end of the day, Wilder doesn't have a jab. His stamina's not good. His speed's not good. His footwork's not good. You know, he doesn't hold it. He holds his chin up in the air. I mean, I can go on and on. But this is a guy that came into boxing late, 2004 Olympic bronze medalist out of Mobile, Alabama, that boxing hotspot, of course, along with Omaha, Nebraska, and Terrence Crawford. But he came out of Mobile, won the 2008 Olympic bronze medalist, of course, Olympic bronze medal, of course, and it has moved on. He fought like 35 guys before he fought anybody real, and of course, the only real guy he's fought, besides Luis Ortiz, is Tyson Fury, and Tyson Fury's beat him not once but twice. Of course, the first fight they called it a draw, bit of a ridiculous score. The second fight didn't have to go to the cards. Tyson Fury knocked him out. I mean, just annihilated him, won every round, of course, and why would the third fight be any different? It won't. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Guess who? Oscar De La Hoya is back. The golden boy, the golden girl. What do you call him? They call him Oscar De La Fishnets on the internet. Is that what they call him? Scott Cuddy says they call Oscar De La Hoya Oscar De La Fishnets on the internet. Well, anyway, Oscar De La Fishnets is going to be fighting Vitor Belfort. and this was supposed to be an exhibition at first, but somebody talked smack about it, and Oscar said, okay, I'll fight him in a real fight. Now, Oscar's in trouble. Why do I say that? Not that Anderson Silva, not that Vitor Belfort can fight, because Anderson Silva beat up, Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. a couple months ago, or a few weeks ago. No, no. Not that there's a big discrepancy as far as talent's concerned here, okay? It's not. The bottom line is, size. I mean, it is. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. This is combat sports. Oscar's about a 147-pounder, maybe 150-pounder, maybe, you know, he's put on a few pounds, so he's gotten bigger, he's gotten older, he's 52 years old, so we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say he's grown into the 154-pound weight class. Well, Belfort is a big dude. He comes in like at 180 pounds, comes down from 180 pounds. So much like Chavez, when he had to fight Anderson Silva a few weeks ago, of course, size mattered. That was really the reason why he lost. He was just outgunned and outstrength and outmanned and this kind of stuff. And I think the same thing might be happening to the Oscar De La Hoya. Of course, De La Hoya should have quit and stayed quit after Manny Pacquiao handed him his lunch. I mean, but he didn't. Every old guy's got to come back. You know, Ray Leonard told me, you won't see me coming back, Pedro. We're running together and kicking back in Florida in 1989. He says, listen, once I'm done here, another couple of fights, I'm done. You won't see me coming back. You won't see Ray Leonard get knocked out as an old man. What happened? He got knocked out by Terry Norris. He got knocked out by Hector Camacho. He was an old man. In other words, Ray, although he wanted to make his destiny different than the other fighters that preceded him, it just went the same old way. Old guys lose. One of the few guys that hasn't done that is Andre Ward. And I suspect that, I was 70-30. He was going to come back about a month and a half ago. Okay. Now I'm cooling a little bit. Now it's a little bit less than 50-50, maybe 45-65, 45. And the reason why I say 55-45, the reason why I say that is that he's not making any noise. Of course, Caleb Plant's going to take on Canelo Alvarez September 18th. Caleb being the undefeated WBA 168-pound champion. This will be a unification match of sort. Of course, Canelo will have all the belts, including Pedro's belt. I'll give him a belt too. We'll have all the belts after he beats up on Caleb Plant September 18th, and will be on pay-per-view. Will not be on the zone. Canelo going back to pay-per-view. Fox Sports pay-per-view is going to put this together, meaning they're trying to figure out where the most money's coming from. More power to them. Fighters deserve to get paid. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Little tower to the break. Stand people.
Helping us to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
My corner would have let me win out on my shield. I'm a warrior.
The darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long. Oh, super.
My mother told me one day, it's not bragging, son, when you're telling the truth. And I thought that was one of her original lines. Then I found out she stole it from Cassius Clay. My mother was a plagiarist. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Whoa, I check it. Your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. There is a fight going on. Of course, it'll be on, I think, The Zone or Sky Sports. This and that. Of course, I'm talking about Joe Joyce. Of course, he's a big guy, outweighs Carlos Tackham by 20 pounds. Tackham's the opponent here, no doubt about that. But Tackham goes in at 39-5 with a draw and 28 KOs. He went in at 248. Joe Joyce, of course, 12-0, 11 KOs, came in at 268. He doesn't look fat, he just looks thick as far as Joe Joyce is concerned. Is Joe Joyce that good of a fighter? We really don't know. As far as the upcoming schedules occurring, of course, today was supposed to be the Tyson Fury, Deontay Wilder fight until like four or five guys in Tyson Fury's camp tested positive for COVID. Tyson Fury didn't, but his camp did, supposedly. Anyway, bottom line is that fight's not going to happen until October the 9th. Of course, July the 31st, July 24th was supposed to happen today, but it'll go on October the 9th. July 31st, Conor Benn, the son of Nigel Benn, taking on Adrian Granados. That's going to go down in the welterweight bout on DAZN July 31st. July 31st on Fox, Michael Coffey and Gerald Washington. Coffey's a budding heavyweight looking to notch another win on his record because Gerald Washington's a bit of an opponent at this point in time. And August 3rd, the aforementioned Michael Hunter versus Mike Wilson on Fight TV. Bottom line is Fight TV, WBA Heavyweight Eliminator. August 6th, Michael Conlan, TJ Donnelly. I don't know who those guys are. August the 7th, Cody Crowley versus Gabriel Maestro for the WBA interim welterweight title. Why does the WBA have so many champions at 147? I mean, 147 pounds. It is a welterweight title. Why can't they get this together? I mean, I'm off the top of my head, it was like Virgil Ortiz got a welterweight. All these guys got welterweight titles. I'm not saying they're all not worthy, but there's just too many welterweight titles out there. Let's get this done. Of course, looks like Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter are going to hook it up. Hopefully that fight will be won by one guy decisively. In other words, show his superiority and move on and take on the winner of the Errol Spence fight. Of course, I think Virgil Ortiz, and that's V-E-R-G-E-L-L. That's the way he spells his name, I believe. He may be the real deal. He's like 17-0 with 17 knockouts, coming to the side of Texas. Mexican-American kid can fight, no doubt about that. But welterweights, we'll talk welterweights in depth tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition. Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2 p.m. Eastern time. 8 o'clock in Honolulu, Hawaii for my folks out there in the 50th state. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking through the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we come to you live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. And for the viewers that are checking out, I thank you so much. Of course, live and delayed, Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. I want to thank my producer, the one, the only, incomparable Scott Cuddy. I want to thank the great voice of Lenny Williams in Tower of Power. Lenny, you still are the godfather of blue soul R&B, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time.